Hi, I'm Chris, Radio Volunteer Claire, and this is the June-July edition of National Geographic Kids. This edition is titled, Saving Sea Turtles, How Cool Tech is Protecting Hatchlings. Let's turn the page. On this page, there is an advertisement for sunscreen, but on the next page is the table of contents. In this issue, we'll read about animal poachers busted, discover how amazing technology is protecting endangered sea turtles, a new movie Elemental, see how this fun flick stacks up to reality, 10 cute animals, we dare you not to fall in love with these adorable critters, science bloopers, 3 Nat Geo explorers reveal their silliest mistakes, and cool things about Machu Picchu. Explore the secrets of this awesome spot. On the right-hand side of the page is a weird but true, Check Out These Outrageous Facts by Julie Beer and Michelle Harris. The planet Kepler-413b wobbles like a spinning top. Some kinds of apples are pink on the inside. Caribou release an odor from their ankles when threatened. A billboard in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, stretches the length of 9 basketball courts. Male kangaroos flex their arm muscles to impress females. This kangaroo is thinking, anyone seen my hand weights? Herds of buffalo-sized rodents once roamed South America. Your glabella is the area of skin between your eyebrows. Giant cuttlefish have bagel-shaped brains. And one indoor soccer match in Alberta, Canada, lasted for 30 hours. Let's turn the page. Guinness World Records by Kay Boatner. Ooh, worthy eyes. The mantis shrimp might have the coolest eyes your eyes have ever seen. These crustaceans, which live in tropical and subtropical waters worldwide, hold the record for having the most complex eyes in the animal kingdom. Almost all animals have color receptors, which help them tell different colors apart. But these shrimp have more color receptors than other animals, including humans. That's why only mantis shrimp can see a type of light that reflects special patterns off their shells. And that helps them find a mate or avoid a fight with another shrimp. These creatures are definitely something you have to see to believe. On the left-hand side of the text is a picture of a mantis shrimp. A peacock mantis shrimp walks on a rock in the Celebi Sea in Southeast Asia. Tower of Ice Pop Sticks. How many ice pop sticks does it take to create the world's tallest ice pop stick structure? Nearly 2,000 of them. With his father's help, Eric Klebel glued 1,750 of these sticks together to create a 20-foot-tall tower. That's slightly taller than an adult giraffe. These builders are probably ready for a different sweet treat. Beard grows pencils. Good thing Joel Strasser didn't shave for 6 months. That way, his beard could hold 456 pencils. Strasser took an hour in 10 minutes to place the pencils, but less than 10 seconds to shake them out once he broke the record for the most pencils in a beard. Strasser's secret? He placed each of the pencils very slowly. Time to break out the shaving cream. Strasser places pencils in his beard. Beard of pencils. On the right-hand side of the page, we have an article called Bet You Didn't Know, 6 Splashy Facts About Marine Animals by Paige Towler. Number 1. Manatees are related to elephants. Number 2. Polar bears have webbed feet that help them swim for long distances. Number 3. Sea otters have the thickest fur of any mammal. Number 4. 1/2 of a dolphin's brain is always awake. Number 5. Male stellar sea lions sometimes blow bubbles to show who's the boss. And number 6. Sometimes called sea canaries, beluga whales vocalize a lot. Whistling, chirping, squealing, and even mooing. Let's turn the page. Brain Candy by Julie Beer and Michelle Harris. Some sports teams have unusual mascots. The University of California, Santa Cruz, is home to the banana slugs. The boll weevil, a beetle pest to cotton growers, is the mascot of the University of Arkansas at Monticello. The Colorado Rockies baseball team chose a dinosaur as their mascot after workers found a triceratops while building the team's stadium. Let's turn the page. Amazing animals. Did I swipe my trolley pass? Thinks the dog on the front of this page. Dog rides trolleys. And trains and ferries. Istanbul, Turkey. Subway riders in this busy city often shared their trip with an unusual passenger, Boji the Antalonian Shepherd Mix. The dog would wait patiently on a station platform for the train doors to open, then find a seat until he was ready to, debark. The stray dog has been well known to passengers on subway trains, trolleys, and ferries. Human riders would pet the friendly pup and leave food for him at different stops. Boji always knew where he was going, said photographer Chris McGrath, who spent a day following the dog. He moved so fast, it was hard to keep up with him. In 2021, city officials put a microchip tracker in Boji and found out that Pooch passed through at least 29 stations each day. So why'd he take all that public transportation? Boji was well rewarded for his unusual behavior, with food, warmth, safety, and affection. Animal behavior expert Susan McDonald says. But Boji doesn't need to ride the rails anymore. In 2022, the dog was adopted by a local businessman. This article was by Rachel Nunn. The tag on Boji's ear means he's neutered and vaccinated. Stray dogs are protected by law in Turkey. Comeback critter, Eastern Quoll, Barrington Wildlife Sanctuary, Australia. Conservationists walked around the Fenston Wildlife Sanctuary looking for eastern quolls. Over the past few years, a group called Aussie Ark has released 80 eastern quolls here, and the workers wanted to see how they were doing. They found good news. Every single female that we've checked has had joeys in her pouch, Aussie Ark supervisor Tyler Galton says. The quolls are the first to raise their offspring in a natural space on mainland Australia in 60 years. That's because 200 years ago, hungry cats and foxes arriving on boats preyed on the kitten-sized critters. By 1963, eastern quolls were declared extinct here. But a small group of quolls remained safe on Tasmania, a nearby island. So 4 years ago, Aussie Ark created a 1.5-mile sanctuary on the mainland, free of predators. They released Tasmanian quolls into this refuge, where the critters can roam open grassland and forests along other native animals, like wallabies and gliders. The 63 joeys that conservationists recently discovered are like a quoll baby boom, Galton says. When quolls have a habitat that's safe from unnatural predation, they do really well. Adult quolls hang out in the log at the sanctuary. Eastern quolls can have 6 joeys at one time. Goats fight fires. Whittier, California. To help bust wildfires, some Californias are hiring 4-legged firefighters, goats. Their pay? Tasty invasive plants called black mustard. These weeds were brought to California from Spain in the 1700s. But black mustard overgrows native plants. The invasive plant can reach 8 feet tall, then releases lots of seeds before dying. The seeds sprout new plants, and the dry, dead plant matter is fuel for dangerous wildfires. These helpful goats happily eat black mustard, even on steep hillsides that other animals and people can't reach. Even better, the seeds are no longer active once they pass through the goat's tough digestive tract. These seeds don't grow after they come out the other end, says Alyssa Cope, who owns a company that sends out goats. These chompers are champs. This article was by Chris Iovenko. A hired goat munches on vegetation in California. This goat is thinking, best job ever. Let's turn the page. Animal poachers busted. How cool technology is protecting endangered sea turtles, by Bethany Aguilar. It's after midnight, and the Costa Rican beach seems deserted. But a poacher sneaks into the land, quickly digging into a green sea turtle nest and scooping up as many eggs as he can. He's going to illegally sell them to make money. But scientists know something the thief doesn't. One of the eggs is fake. A tracking device has been planted inside of it just a few hours later. Dressed in all black to avoid being seen, researchers had hidden the decoy egg inside this turtle nest, hoping a poacher would steal it. Now that one has, the scientist can track who's poaching the eggs, where the eggs travel, and where they end up. Poaching problem. Some people pay big bucks for sea turtle eggs, even though buying and selling them is illegal. All 7 species of sea turtles are endangered or vulnerable. A single egg can be purchased for up to 300, mostly to eat in restaurants and private homes. Fewer eggs mean fewer hatchlings, and that means trouble for sea turtles. Trafficking or illegally selling is a big problem in Central American countries like Costa Rica, where poachers can destroy 90% of eggs on a single beach. Green sea turtles can lay up to 120 eggs at a time, conservationist Helen Vizi says, adding that olive ridleys can lay up to 110 eggs. Poachers sometimes steal more than 100 eggs from just one nest. That's why Paso Pacifico, a conservation organization working to save local sea turtles, came up with a creative solution, planting fake sea turtle eggs with tiny trackers into turtle nests. Conservationist Helen Feezy prepares to place a fake egg in an olive ridley's sea turtle nests. In the picture behind the text, a green sea turtle swims off the coast of Costa Rica. The scales on a sea turtle's shell are called scutes. Sea turtles can't pull their head and limbs into their shells like land turtles can. Let's turn the page. The plan isn't just to catch the poachers, though. Experts want to know where these eggs are going. Then, Fizia says, we can get a better sense of these trafficking routes and where the eggs are being sold. Building the perfect egg. First, scientists had to figure out how to build fake green and olive ridley sea turtle eggs that looked and felt real. They have a kind of leathery outer shell and then a squishy interior, conservationist Kim Willens-Guyen says. Willens-Guyen and other scientists eventually used a material called NinjaFlex, which they printed with a 3D machine. Carefully squishing it open, they placed the GPS tracker inside, then glued it with glue. It looks pretty close to the real thing, she says. Next, scientists searched a Costa Rican beach for nesting sea turtles. Once the team found one, they waited for the turtle to lay her 100-plus eggs the size of ping-pong balls in the hole she dug. We slipped a fake egg when the female was about halfway through laying, so it was hidden in the middle of the eggs among all the other eggs, Fizia says. That makes it harder for poachers to detect it. The team placed one fake egg in 101 green and olive ridley sea turtle nests. There are beaches on the Caribbean and Pacific coasts of Costa Rica. 25 of their fake eggs were taken by poachers. These eggs transmitted GPS locations to the scientists' phones, which meant they could view the trafficking routes almost in real time. By watching where the eggs went, the team identified 5 paths used often by the poachers. This allowed us to get a sense of what the local trade route looked like, conservationist Sarah Otterson says. Tracking the eggs. One thing that surprised researchers was how far the eggs were traveling. Before they created the fake eggs, scientists assumed that most eggs were being sold locally. But one egg went farther inland to a city about 85 miles away. See map below. The goal for scientists is to collect enough data to identify the individuals trafficking and paying for the stolen sea turtle eggs. If authorities can charge enough of these people with crimes, the poachers and buyers might be less likely to steal and illegally purchase sea turtle eggs. Experts know that most poachers are poor and just trying to make money. That's why the Paso Pacifico team is more interested in busting the people at the top to cut down on the demand for eggs from the poachers. To do this, they're continuing to collect data in Costa Rica and telling law enforcement where the fake eggs end up. The researchers also want to make more fake eggs for conservationists working in other countries. This technology could also be used to protect other egg-laying species like crocodiles. Willens-Guyen loves that this project excites people and hopes that local communities continue to value saving all 7 species of sea turtles. We need everyone's help to protect these animals. On the left-hand side of the page, there are 2 pictures. One is of a fake sea turtle egg that holds a tiny GPS tracker, which will send a signal to scientists' phone. Real eggs surround a fake one on a Costa Rican beach. If a poacher steals it, scientists can track where it goes. On the bottom of the page, there are a picture of female olive Ridley sea turtles that come ashore to lay their eggs at a beach in Costa Rica. And on the right-hand side of the page, a green sea turtle hatchling crosses a beach in Costa Rica. Let's turn the page. Meet the sea turtles. Sure, all sea turtles have shells and flippers, but each of the seven species stands out in its own way. Check out some fun facts about all of them. The neat freak. Some green sea turtles stay clean by visiting a turtle wash. Turtles choose a cleaning station, where groups of cleaner fish stand by to groom the turtles. The fish eat the algae, barnacles, parasites, and other ocean gunk from the turtles' shells and skin. The protective mom. Every year, thousands of female olive Ridley sea turtles take over beaches. Called an arribada, arrival in Spanish, they gather in the water before and after coming ashore to lay eggs. Why? Thousands of turtles nearby can fend off predators trying to snatch the eggs. The world traveler. After leaving their nesting site, some loggerhead sea turtles swim up to a third of the way around the world. Named for their large heads that look sort of like a big log, loggerheads travel as far north as Canada and as far south as Argentina. The extreme eater. Hawksbill sea turtles have an unusual diet, sponges. Their hawk-like beaks, which is what they're named for, pluck sponges from the cracks and crevices of coral. Most animals can't eat the toxic sponges, but this turtle gobbles about 12,000 pounds of them a year. The homebody. Unlike its globe-trotting cousins, a flat-back sea turtle sticks close to home. This rare turtle nests only on remote beaches of northern Australia and spends its day floating in the water and basking in the sun. Seabirds often perch on the backs of floating flatbacks. The little one. The Kemp's Ridley might be the smallest sea turtle, but that doesn't mean it's tiny. The 70 to 100 pound adult reptile weighs more than most 10-year-old kids, and its shell is about the size of a car tire. These little turtles also build their nests in about 50 minutes, less than half the time it takes other sea turtles. The mega turtle. What's as big as a door? A leather-backed leathery shell, which can be 6 feet long and 4 feet wide. Weighing about 1,500 pounds, these giants are heavier than any other sea turtle species. One leatherback weighs as much as 6 pro football players. On the right-hand side of the page, an olive Ridley hatchling swims for the first time off a Costa Rican beach. Sea turtle hatchlings are less than 3 inches long. Sea turtles munch mostly on algae, seagrasses, crabs, and conchs. Let's turn the page. The truth behind a new movie, Elemental, by Suzanne Warren-Drimmer. In the new movie Elemental, residents made of fire, water, earth, and air live in different districts throughout Element City. But when Ember, who is made of fire, needs to save her parents' store, she must work with a city inspector named Wade, who is made of water. We used real science to inspire how these two characters, along with characters made of earth and air, behave in the film, director Peter Sahn says. But how much are Ember, Wade, and other residents like the natural elements they're modeled after? Nat Geo Kids goes behind the scenes to find out. Plant power. An earth character named Claude, who's mostly made of soil and grass, tries to impress his crush, Ember, by sprouting flowers in his armpits. Soil is important for helping flowers grow in real life, too. Gardeners plant seeds in soil because the dirt contains element that plants need to grow. For instance, nitrogen in soil helps leaves sprout. Potassium keeps stems healthy. Rainbow flames. Ember and Wade visit a lake where she hops from stone to stone, her flames changing color with each leap. A cool thing I learned making this movie is that if you add the right element, fire can be almost any color, Sohn says. When heat excites the atoms of an element, the atoms' electrons gain energy. Then the electrons release the energy as particles of light. Those particles are called photons. Depending on the element, those photons will appear as different colors. For instance, if you throw table salt, which is made of the elements sodium and chloride, into a fire, this flames turn yellow. The element boron creates green flames, and the element bismuth makes blue ones. But definitely don't try this at home. Waterworks. Wade tries to hide his job as a city inspector from Ember's father by covering his name tag with his watery hand. But that only makes the words appear larger. The movie gag is based on a scientific principle called refraction. Your brain sees objects after rays of light reflect off those objects to your eyes. The light usually moves in a straight line, but water causes the light rays to bend as they pass through. That can make objects seen through water, like a rock on the bottom of a pond, seem bigger than they really are. Going up, the citizens of Element City share a favorite sport, airball. In this basketball-like game, athletes made of air zoom around a stadium, floating up and down like clouds as they try to swish a ball through a hoop. Clouds rise and fall in real life, too. Clouds form when invisible gas called water vapor, the thing that fogs up your shower, rises into the sky. As it climbs, the surrounding air cools the water vapor until the vapor turns into tiny liquid water droplets. Billions of these droplets form on super small particles like dust that are already floating in the air. When those droplets bind together, a cloud forms. The cloud keeps rising until it has so many particles that the cloud becomes heavier than the air around it. Once that happens, the cloud starts to fall. The ancient Greeks believed that everything in the world is made of just four things: fire, water, earth, and air. Modern scientists think that all matter is actually made up of at least 118 chemical elements. These 118 chemical elements are arranged in a chart called the periodic table. We hit a periodic table in the film, director Peterson says. It'll be fun to see how many viewers can spot it. Let's turn the page. 10 cute animals. We dare you not to fall in love with these adorable critters. By Kate Hale. White rhinoceros. A rhino's feelings wouldn't get hurt if you called it a name. Not that you would. They have thick skin. Literally. About an inch thick, rhino skin is built to protect the animal from thorns and biting flies in its African home. A rhino's size is nothing to mess with either. One of the world's biggest babies, rhinos can weigh 140 pounds at birth, gaining 4 pounds every day until they reach about 4,500 pounds. Hugely adorable. Red panda. Bamboo, delish. These fire foxes, as they're sometimes called, don in bamboo like their black and white namesake does. But unlike giant pandas, Asia's red pandas have cute white whiskers. The sensitive hairs help the pandas navigate narrow spaces, especially at night. Chipmunk. This North American rodent stays alert while it fills its cheek pouches with everything from seeds and nuts to worms and bird eggs. If danger comes along, it calls loudly to warn other chipmunks. Meerkats. Native to parts of Africa, meerkats are constantly on alert for predators such as jackals or falcons. Clever critters. Meerkats all have different jobs within their group, including guard duty and babysitting. Everything gets done by working as a team. Hakuna Matata, no worries. Harvest mice. With its teeny puffball body and button nose, the harvest mouse is one of the smallest and possibly cutest rodent in Europe. Longer than its body, its prehensile tail helps the mouse grip, hold, and hang from and climb the tallest grass or twig. Sometimes, young mice even link their tails together, like BFFs. North American porcupine. Baby porcupines might look cuddly, but they'll soon have the ultimate defense, quills. The soft, bendable hairs that make the youngster look almost huggable quickly harden in a few days. As many as 30,000 sharp, barbed quills protect this living pincushion from hungry predators. Galapagos sea lion. Sea lion pups are born with longer hair called lanugo, which helps them keep warm until they develop blubber, or fat. Once this pup is a couple of months old, it can swim. By the time it's 2 years old, it will be ready to claim its reputation as one of the fastest mammals in the ocean, zipping through the water at bursts of up to 25 miles an hour. Snow leopards. Nice coat! Snow leopards live in some of the coldest parts of Asia, where they need the fluffiest, fuzziest fur to keep warm. These rare cats have large fur-covered paws that act like snowshoes so they don't seep into deep snow. Snow leopards also beat the chill by sleeping with their tails wrapped around them like a blanket. Japanese macaque. These pink-faced snow monkeys are native to Japan. During the freezing winter, some groups treat themselves to a resort-style dip in natural hot springs. Others wash their food in salt water to give it a little extra flavor. Black bear. These cautious creatures weigh about as much as a hockey puck when they're born, and even purr as they nurse from their mother. After they stop drinking milk, North America's black bears munch on almost anything. Insects, nuts, berries, and even grass. Let's turn the page. Science bloopers. Three Nat Geo explorers reveal their silliest mistakes. Below the title is a picture of sperm whales near Sri Lanka doing their business in the ocean. Who's poo? The scientist Mauricio Cantor, cool job, behavioral ecologist, the location, Galapagos Islands, Ecuador. We were on a boat following sperm whales and scooping their poop from the ocean surface. Back at the lab, I could study the stuff to learn more about whales' social lives. So I placed each poo sample into a vial labeled with the animal's name and social group. Then I put the tubes into a container of liquid nitrogen. It's minus 320 degrees Fahrenheit and instantly freezes the poop, which keeps it fresh. Back at the lab, I opened the container, and all the labels had fallen off the vials. I didn't know whose poop sample belonged to which whale. I had ordered the wrong stickers, which fell off in the super cold temperature. I was not the most popular person at the lab that day, but instead the most poopular. This is how science works. You fail a lot and you learn from it. Lucky, I could use other data I had collected on the trip for my research, and I definitely learned not to buy the wrong labels. Cave confusion. The scientist. Violeta Zelyakova. Cool job. Biologist and mycologist, a fungi scientist. The location. Rychova Dubka Cave, Bulgaria. My research partner and I entered one of the deepest caves in Bulgaria to study the horseshoe bats that live inside. Many people had explored this cave before, so I thought that we'd see a sign telling visitors when to turn back before the cave became too small for a person to pass through. We traveled over 1,000 feet beneath the Earth's surface, swabbing the bats' noses and cave walls with cotton to gather samples along the way. We were studying if a fungus might be growing on these animals. As we went on, the cave got smaller and smaller until I got stuck. I was so confused. Hadn't lots of other people been down here? I had no choice but to turn back. I wiggled backward while my teammate behind me laughed at my strange moves. Defeated, we headed towards the surface, and then we spotted the sign. Although we'd gathered what we needed from the bats that day, we learned an important lesson about paying closer attention while doing science. Fishy fail. The explorer. Hannah Nordhaus, cool job, science journalist. The location? Serdarya River, Kazakhstan. We were searching for a fish that hadn't been seen in 50 years, a sturgeon called the Serdarya shovelnose. Around midnight after the first day, I woke up to a strange feeling. Hundreds of tiny ants were crawling on my neck and biting me. I brushed them off, but their bites left big red welts. Then I saw where the ants were walking, straight from the front door to my bag, climbing over me and my teammates to get there. Turns out, a container of sugary powder that I mixed with the water to keep me hydrated broke in my bag on my flight to the site. I didn't know it, but the ants did. Even after I cleaned up the mess, the ants returned each night. I learned to pack more carefully and always check my bag on arrival. My teammates spent 2 weeks dredging section of the river to nets, finding 10 different species of fish. But they didn't find any Serdarya sturgeon and are planning a return trip to search again for this ghost fish. So I also learned from them to never give up. Let's turn the page. Cool Things About Machu Picchu by Allison Shaw. Art by Clayton Hamner. The Inca Empire was one of the most powerful of the day, ruling Western South America between 1400 and 1533, and the Inca leaders sometimes needed vacations. That's why the Inca built Machu Picchu in what's now Peru. All that's left today are ruins, but about 500 years ago, it was a bustling royal residence. Peek into the past to discover the secrets of this awesome spot. Number 1. Royal Relaxation. The royal family lived mostly in the mountainous capital of city, Cusco, but during the winter, they could move down to the warmer Machu Picchu. Emperor Pachacuti Ayacuchpunki likely ordered construction of their tree around 1540. There, the royals could feast and entertain guests. Other 750 residents served the rulers and maintained the city. Number 2. Sun Catchers. The Incas worshipped a sun god named Inti and called themselves the People of the Sun. No wonder they built a 6-foot-tall stone pillar on Machu Picchu's highest point. Some archaeologists think it worked as a sort of sundial. Explorers named it Intihuatana, meaning hitching post of the sun. Number 3. Perfect fit. Earthquakes are common in Peru, so Inca builders designed Machu Picchu's to withstand these tremors. They cut the stones to fit together, and they didn't use any material like cement to bind them. This way, when the ground shook, the stones would bounce around and then settle back into place. Number 4. Llama Drama. How did Inca builders haul materials to Machu Picchu without wheels, horses, or oxen? Llamas helped, but these animals only carry about 100 pounds before refusing to move. An ox can pull over 1,000 pounds. So Inca workers carried some materials on their own backs and used sleds to pull or push heavy stones. Number 5. Garden Party. To prevent a big landslide from destroying Machu Picchu, the Inca built more than 600 terraces, flat areas made in the hillside. Filled with stone, gravel, and sand, each terrace stabilized the mountain slopes and slowly absorbed rainwater. This way, rain and mud didn't rush down the mountain and wear down everything in its path. A top layer of soil on each terrace provided a place to grow food, like potatoes, corn, and beans. Number 6. Splashdown. Hand-carved canals brought fresh water from nearby springs to Machu Picchu. Then the water splashed down 16 fountains. The system, which still works today, could carry up to 80 gallons of water each minute. 7. Temple of the Sun. On the longest and shortest days of the year, the morning sunshine fell on what some experts think was a puma-shaped stone in the center of the temple. Experts think that this curved wall structure was another place for people to worship the sun. And the puma? These animals were sacred to the Inca. Emperor Pachacuti even wore a puma skin when going into battle. 8. Coded language. The Inca didn't have a written language and instead used knotted cords, called quipu, to send messages and keep records. Experts think the style of the knot and the color of the string contained information. Researchers are now using computers to try to untangle these long-lost codes. Let's turn the page. On this page, there is a quiz about hamsters where you can test your hamster IQ. On the next page, there is an activity where you can unscramble letters to make different words. On the right-hand side of the page is a funny critter chat that you can have a parent or guardian read to you. On the next page, there is a poll called What You Think? Which shark is your fave? 23% liked whale sharks, 30% liked great white sharks, 21% liked great hammerhead sharks, 13% liked lemon sharks, which was tied with the 13% that liked tiger sharks. On the right-hand side of the page is a funny fill-in. And lastly, the art zone shows me as a tree, where different National Geographic Kids readers like you drew themselves as a tree. And that's it for the June-July edition of National Geographic Kids.